वृत्ति अनुभूत सर्व आत्मा यथा स्वप्न जनेक्षिते के आत्मा यथा स्वप्न जनेक्षिते का तम सत्यमानंद निधिं भजेत तम सत्यमानंद निधिं भजेत नान्यत्र सच्चेत यथ आत्मपात नान्यत्र सच्चेत यथ आत्मपात स सर्वदेवृत्ति अनुभूत सर्व आत्मा यथा स्वप्न जनेक्षितैक तम सत्यमानंद निधिं भजेत नान्यत्र सच्चेत यत आत्मपात सर्वमति वृत्ति अनुभूत सर्व आत्मा यथा स्वप्न जनेक्षितैक तम सत्यमानंद निधिं भजेत नान्यत्र सच्चेत यत आत्मपात माताजी to word translation. Saha, he, the Supreme Person, Sarvadhi Vritti, the process of realization by all sorts of intelligence, Anubhuta, cognizant, Sarve, everyone, Atma, the Super Soul, Yatha, as much as, Swapna Jana, a person dreaming, Ikshita, seen by, Ekaha, one and the same, Tam, unto him, Satyam, the supreme truth, Ananda Nidhim, the ocean of bliss, Bhajeta, must one worship, Na, never, anyatra, anything else, sajjet, be attached, yatha, whereby, atmapataha, degradation of oneself. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distribute himself in so many manifestations, just as an ordinary person create thousands of manifestations in dream. One must concentrate the mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. Purport. In this verse, the process of devotion service is indicated by the great Goswami Srila Sukadev. He tries to impress upon us that instead of diverting our attention to several branches of self-realization, we should concentrate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a supreme object of realization, worship and devotion. Self-realization is, as it were, offering a fight for eternal life against a material struggle for existence, and therefore, by the illusory grace of the external energy, the yogi or the devotee is faced with many allurements which can entangle a great fighter again in the bondage of material existence. A yogi can attain miraculous success in material achievements such as anima, laghima, by which one can become more minute than the minutest or the lightest, lighter than the lightest, or in the ordinary sense, one may achieve material benedictions in the shape of wealth and woman. But one is warned against such allurements because entanglement again in such illusory pleasures means degradation of the self and further imprisonment in the material world. By this warning, one should follow one's vigilant intelligence only. The Supreme Lord is one and His expansions are various. He is therefore the supersoul of everything. When a man sees anything, he must know that his seeing is secondary and the Lord's seeing is primary. One cannot see anything without the Lord's having first seen it. That is the instruction of Vedas and Upanishads. So whatever we do or whatever we see or do, the supersoul of all acts of seeing or doing is the Lord. This theory of simultaneous oneness and difference between the individual souls and the supersoul is propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a philosophy of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. The Virat Roop or Gangetic feature of Supreme Lord includes everything materially manifested, and therefore the Virat or Gangetic feature of the Lord is supersoul of all living and non-living entities. But the Virat Roop is also manifestation of Narayan or Vishnu, and going further on and on, one will eventually see that the Lord Krishna is the ultimate supersoul of everything that be. The conclusion is that one should unhesitantly become a worshipper of Lord Shri Krishna, or for that matter, His plenary expansion Narayan and none else. In the Vedic hymns, it is clearly said that first of all, Narayan cast a glance over matter, and thus there was a creation. Before creation, there was neither Brahma nor Shiva, and what to speak of others. Shripad Shankaracharya has definitely accepted this, that Narayan is beyond the material creation, that all others are within the material creation. The whole material creation, therefore, is one with and different from Narayan, simultaneously, and this supports the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being an emanation from the glancing potency of Narayan, the whole material creation is non-different from Him. But because it is the effect of His external energy, Bahiranga Maya, and is aloof from the internal potency, Atma Maya, the whole material creation is different from Him at the same time. The example given in this verse is very nice. Is that the dreaming man creates many things in his dream, and thus he himself becomes the entangled seer of the dream and is also affected by the consequences. This material creation is also exactly a dream-like creation of the Lord, but he, being the transcendental supersoul, is neither entangled nor affected by the reactions of such a dream-like creation. He is always in his transcendental position, but essentially he is everything, and nothing is apart from him. As a part of him, one should therefore concentrate on him only, without deviation. Otherwise, one is sure to be overcome by the potency of the material creation, one after another. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.7 as follows. Sarvabhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaya punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, every material manifestation enters into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I again create. The human life, however, is an opportunity to get out of this repetition of creation and annihilation. it is a means whereby one may escape the Lord's external potency and enters into His internal potency. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The First Step in a God Realization. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapatantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shirupam Sakrajatam Sahaganarunatham Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Brasha Krupa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namonu Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, translation. One should concentrate his mind upon Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary person creates thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate the mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. So, big purport. It is the last verse of the first chapter. So, second canto, first chapter. This describes about Shukadeva Goswami when he starts speaking, he describes about the Ashtanga Yoga first and then he talks about the Virata Rupa. Ashtanga Yoga, he describes all the eight stages, and when Parikshit Maharaj asks, what is the Dharana Ashray? One of the stages is Dharana in Ashtanga Yoga. So what is the Dharana Ashray? Then Shukadeva Goswami elaborates about the Virata Rupa form. How one should meditate on a Virata Rupa form. So this was for the attached yogi, he should meditate upon Virata Rupa form. Now this goes to the questions like, what should we do then? Should we follow Ashtanga Yoga and the major chapter of this, Shukadeva Goswami is talking about the Virata Rupa. Actually, Vedic literature, if you see, it presents many different methods and processes of self-realization, and Prabhupada also mentioned there are many processes of self-realizations. It is not to confuse, but if we divide a human society at a different levels, then we see according to the modes they have acquired, according to the nature, according to their taste, they are at the different levels. And to cater to them at a different levels, Vedas speaks about these different levels, these different methods and processes for self-realization. So Prabhupada mentions Shukadeva Goswami is an authority over this. So as Shukadeva Goswami is walking into this assembly where Parikshit Maharaj he just has 7 days and 7 nights. So which process will benefit Parikshit Maharaj the most? And everybody is discussing. There are many sages who have come across. There are some yogis, there are some great sages, munis. They were discussing about what process will go on where, which process will suit. But as Shukadeva Goswami walks in, all that thing stops and everyone unanimously choose Shukadeva Goswami to speak. And he speaks about bhakti. Now, it's not that in that assembly they were not bhaktas. They were not knowing about the glories of bhakti. They were all. But sometimes, just like, you know, in a dressing, sometimes when there is a dark cloth, then what goes in a jewelry is when we have to dress, we choose that jewelry which is like has the stones, right? Shining stones. So that comes out very nicely. So all these sages, that was the background arranged that they were discussing all other things, and Shukadeva Goswami to that shining star comes and he starts speaking about bhakti. So all that was arrangement made. So that Shukadeva Goswami speaks about the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like as the sunlight comes, all the street lamps are of no use. And that's how Shukadeva Goswami starts speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the last verse of this chapter. And those speaks about the Virat Roop and Ashtanga Yoga. However, this concluding verse is very important. So we should understand what the conclusion of all this discussion is. So, Srila Prabhupada also, sometimes people point out, why do Srila Prabhupada mentions into his purport about bhakti, about devotional service, about chanting, about Krishna, when there is no mention anywhere into the verse, or word to word, there is no clue of that, then why do Prabhupada mentions about bhakti? So, because let's say, if somebody starts learning some pages or some verse out of blue, out of context, and then what he understands is that the process. He may take upon that process and he may assume that process and continue with that process. So, he will not reach to the conclusion. And therefore, he should actually go to the conclusion of the book and understand what it means to say. But somebody just out of context he picks up, he will not understand that. And that's why Prabhupada, into his purport, he hints at the conclusion, and that's why he mentions bhakti and Krishna and devotional service and chanting process. Right? So Srila Prabhupada, therefore he hints, even though there may not be a direct mention in the purport, into the translation, into the verse, Sanskrit. So, so what is the basically message of this? Or let's understand, what is the message of, there are many times people ask, what is the message of Bhagavad Gita? What is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? And everybody has derived their own way of picking up some yoga from Bhagavad Gita, and they start thinking this is the conclusion, this is the message of Gita, and that's all. That's how we have to practice it. How do we understand a book? What is the best way to understand a book is to know what actually author wants to convey us. Right? We should understand what the author is conveying here by writing that book, by writing that. So, author of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Shri Krishna. In a sense, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So, how do we understand what he want to convey, what author want to convey? Is the first thing, what he repeats in the book. Then, what is being glorified in the book. Then we understand what is actually he is holding upon. In which direction the book is moving into? What is the logical direction the book is moving into? Right? How does he begins and at what note that book is ending? And what conclusion the book is ending? So these are the important things if you want to understand the book. So a few months back, Hari Parshad Prabhu had come here and he described so wonderfully about picking up from the Acharya's commentaries, how Bhagavad Gita's conclusion is. So, what is the thing is glorified in Bhagavad Gita? What is being glorified in Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. He says, 12th chapter is many times, Yomad Bhakta Same Priya, Yomad Bhakta Same Priya. In the 12th chapter, in the 13th, 16th verse and 14th verse, it is repeated. Yome Bhakta Same Priya. That devotee is very dear to me. Then again, Bhakti Man Same Priya. In the 12th chapter again, it is repeated. So many times, it is repeated how the bhakti, how the bhakta is so much dear to me. And somebody who propagates this message of Bhagavad Gita, shares this message of Bhagavad Gita, is so dear to me. Right? So, this is the repetition is happening. Why this is the repetition in Bhagavad Gita about bhakti? Because if we have to fix a nail into the wall, we have to repeatedly hammer. And when you repeatedly hammer, that's how the wall will, that nail will get fixed. And that's how the bhakti is being repeatedly being glorified into Bhagavad Gita. Then in what logical direction Bhagavad Gita is going? When Lord Shri Krishna starts speaking, he starts speaking in the second chapter. And he starts speaking from the Jnana Yoga. He gives the knowledge about the soul. You are not this body, but you are a spirit soul. So Arjuna was unable to appreciate that, and that's where he changes. In the middle of second chapter, Lord Shri Krishna changes his trajectory and he starts speaking about Karma Kanda or Karma Yoga. So when he talks about Karma Yoga, Arjuna says, okay, karma is very horrible part. He says, Ghore Karmani is very horrible part, warfare. That's what he is into. So it's very horrible part. So later then Krishna says, okay, then Ashtanga Yoga. Arjuna says, it is so difficult to control the mind and you are telling me to control all my senses and sit in such a postures and these things. It's very difficult. So Arjuna protested in every yoga. He had a protest that this is not possible for me. Only when the Bhakti Yoga is being spoken, he readily accepted and he didn't protest. So that means to say the logical direction where it is moving is a for Bhagavad Gita, is a Bhakti Yoga. Another point is how it begins. How Bhagavad Gita is beginning is Arjuna's surrender. He says, Shishyasteham Sadhi Mam Tvam Prapannam. I surrender unto your Lord. Please become my Guru. I am surrendering unto you. Although he was like a friend, but now he has taken the position of a student and Lord as a Guru. Please instruct me. I am surrender. So that's where Bhagavad Gita begins at a Sharanagati and ends at what? Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. At ends with also Sharanagati. So beginning and ending is also Sharanagati. That's a bhakti. So also now we may say, okay, but there are many different yogas being spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga and so on and so forth. But when these yogas are spoken, what was the conclusion of that yoga is very interesting. What is being repeated? Again and again, that repetition is in Yoginam Api Sarvesham, then Bhakto Bhaktya Mam Api Janati, Ananas Chintayanto Mam, Bhoktaram Yakitapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Sarudam Sarva Bhutanam, Nyatva Mam Shantim Richati. So he says, Yagya. Yagya is Karma Kanda or Karma Yoga, right? Then tapa is a jnana. Bhoktaram yakya tapasa. Sarva loka maheshwara. Sarva loka maheshwara is somebody who is aspiring for demigod. Somebody is aspiring for different planets, higher planets. Surudham. Surudham is a friend within. That's the ashtanga yogi's goal. Right? So, jnatva mam shantim rishyati. So, Krishna says all these paths, various paths, the goal is me, jnatva mam. So that's how it all these paths concludes in a bhakti. So Bhagavad Gita's concluding message is nothing but bhakti. So we see in the last shloka of a sixth chapter where Lord Shri Krishna is talking about Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. Here also, the first chapter of the second canto is described about Ashtanga Yoga. Shukadeva Goswami was speaking about Ashtanga Yoga. So in the sixth chapter, Lord Shri Krishna is describing about Ashtanga Yoga and details of Ashtanga Yoga is to be described. But the conclusion of that is very important. What was the conclusion of that sixth chapter? The last verse is, Yoginam api sarvesham matkateran taratmana Shaddavan Pachateyo Mam Same Yukta Tamomata. So he says, Yoginam Api Sarvesham. Amongst the all kinds of yogis, Madgater Antaratmana. Antaratmana means within oneself, Madgatena. He makes me the goal. So, Shaddavan Bhajate Yomam. So, this is important. Shaddavan, with faith, he bhajate. He carries out devotional service. Bhajate. Bhajate Yomam. To whom? To Lord Shri Krishna. Mam. Same Yukta Tamo Mata. Same Yukta Tamo. That person, that yogi is most intimately united with me. And that is the conclusion of any yoga. Intimately united with Lord Shri Krishna. So, that is possible when we come to the conclusion. Culmination of all the yogas is bhakti. That's what this verse says. Let's see. Yoginam api sarvesham. So, yukta. So, there's a good, better and best. Superlative degree is best. Good, better, best. So, yukta is like a good. Okay. So, when Ashtanga yoga has been described, yukta is to be. Yukta is talked about in the 6th chapter where you have to disconnect yourself from the material. Disconnect from the matter. That's the Ashtanga Yoga's initial processes. So that is yukta. Right? Whether you are satisfied, you don't want anything. So that is a yukta. Then yukta tara, better. And yukta tama is the best. What is the yukta tama? Is this verse. The word used in the last shloka, that is Yoginam Api Sarvesham, it is yukta tama mata. So, yukta tama, that's the best, right? And again it says, the verse starts with a yoginam api sarvesham. Of all the yogis, among the all kind of yogis, yoginam api sarvesham. What you should do? Shaddavan bhajate. Shaddavan. So, faith can be at the different levels, right? Some things that, you know, faith is, God is just a transition phase. Like you use God and then go beyond it. Some people say like this. So, that's not being talked. Shraddha, Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam. So, Shraddha here is, Lord Shri Krishna is in the heart. And make that, so Prabhupada also mentions here in this purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the supreme object of realization, worship and devotion. Make that Supreme Krishna is in heart and make Him the object of our service, our worship and surrender and devotion. That's a bhajate yoma. Shaddhavan bhajate yoma. So, there is nothing going beyond that. Because Krishna says, Mad gater antar atmana. Mad gater. That's a supreme goal. So, bhajate here doesn't mean just the worship, but bhajate means actually service. And Prabhupada elaborates in the Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, he quotes one shloka from 11th canto, he says, Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishvaram na bhajanti avajananti sthanat brishta patantida. He says, anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the Supreme and to the premier Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So, he does not render service and neglects his duty to the Supreme Lord, then he falls down. That means, it indicates it's a service is essential. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates into one of his class given in LA. He says, if a building, a skyscraper building has a multiple stories. The topmost story is one where one wants to go. So, let's say there is a staircase which can get you at the first floor, to the first level. There is another stair which can take you at the second floor. And there is a third. And there is one stair which can take you to the topmost, let's say the fourth floor. So, the first floor is compared to that karma kanda. Or karma yoga. That's like a heavenly platform. To go into the heavenly platform. That's the first floor. So it can reach till that. With the karma yoga stair, you can reach to the heavens. Then, by the jnana stairs, you can reach to the Brahman platform. Second floor. Then with the yoga, you can reach to the paramatma. That's the third floor. Right. But with the bhakti only, you can reach to the Bhagavan, that the topmost floor. Right? There is no point in just going till third floor and coming back. You want to reach to the topmost floor. Right? So, our goal is the topmost floor. You may ask, okay, why goal is the topmost floor? Because the topmost fulfillment is there in the culmination, in the top, right? The topmost level. The topmost fulfillment of our soul, of our innate nature is there. And that's why we want to go to the topmost level. So, Prabhupada says, yoga actually means bhakti yoga, and all other yogas are progressions towards the destination of bhakti yoga. And then Prabhupada describes about what the karma yoga, and then after that is a jnana yoga, then after that is a ashtanga yoga, and the culmination is a bhakti yoga. And one who, so somebody who just sticks to a certain point, he just want to get onto the first floor and he want to just to be there. That person who just want to get at that position is called as that yogi. Like a karma yogi, jnana yogi, hatha yogi, right? Or jnana yogi, raja yogi, likewise, right? But Prabhupada mentions this. When we speak of Himalayas, we refer to the topmost highest mountain, and which is the highest peak, that's the Mount Everest, right? That is considered as the culmination of Himalayas. So that is the topmost. So that's the bhakti is the topmost. So bhakti is the topmost and is a complete yoga. How? Because bhakti includes everything. Karma yoga, that's the action, is included in bhakti yoga. Jnana, that's the introspection, thinking within, reflecting within, that is also included in bhakti yoga. Meditation, that is a focused way, directing your thinking at certain way, in a focused way, that's called as dhyana yoga. That is also included in a bhakti yoga. So, bhakti yoga includes everything, body, intelligence and mind. Karma, intelligence and mind. Everything is included because the heart is a governing faculty for all of us. When we say that you are, when somebody says my heart is on that object, what it means? His action follows for that object. He uses his all intelligence for that object. He meditates upon that object. So when the heart is there, body, mind, intelligence, everything follows. And that's why when says bhakti is there, karma, jnana and dhyana, everything follows. So therefore, bhakti is a complete, another topmost. It says, mad gater. Lord Shri Krishna says, mad gater. So Krishna is so attractive. Make him that our supreme goal. So, so this is a 6.47, the ending, the conclusion of a dhyana yoga. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam. And interestingly, in this verse also, if you see, this is ananda nidhim bhajet. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam and ananda nidhim bhajet. So there is a, he's again advocating it as a devotion service. So when the Ashtanga yoga has been talked about, it culminates into the ananda nidhim bhajet, to worship that Lord who is the who is a reservoir of all pleasure. Ananda nidhim bhajet. Again, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, as Sukadeva Goswami again describes the Virat Roop in detail, so in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna, comes a description, so much description about Virat Roopa form in an 11th chapter. So, I was firstly wondering, you know, 7th to the 12th chapter are called as Bhakti section of Bhagavad Gita. How is that the universal form, the Virat Roopa, is included in the Bhakti Yoga section? You know, in this section of series of chapters. So, then when I went to the conclusion, then I realized while I was studying first time Bhagavad Gita. So, what is the conclusion of the last two shlokas of Bhagavad Gita is 11.54. It says, Bhaktyatva ananya shakya. So, it says, Bhaktyatva ananya shakya aham evam vidho Arjuna jnatum drishtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So he says, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service, bhaktyatva ananya shakya. By undivided devotional service, can I be understood as I am standing before you? And that's the time when Lord Shri Krishna changed from Virat Rupa form to the 400 form to the 200 form on the request of Arjuna. So, I can only understand as I am standing in front of you by the process of devotional service and can be seen directly. So, bhaktyatho ananya shakya, by devotional service and ananya, nothing else. Aham evam vidho Arjuna, know me as I am. Right? So, Krishna is known by Lord Shri Krishna as a Bhagavan form is known by a particular process. Right? He cannot be known by any other processes or different approaches, even if we may be aware of, or the Vedic theology may talk about different processes. But he cannot be known other than the bhakti. As a Bhagavan, he cannot be known. He can be only known by bhakti. As like when you go to the doctor has many instruments with him, right? So he cannot check a patient's weight by stethoscope, can he? No. Everything has its utility, right? So same way, God is actually differs from us, from our understanding of this world is. Like, God differs in a dimension. He is infinite. He is ananta, right? Whereas we are finite. So, so therefore, as he is infinite, we can't study him with our mechanistic science, with our instruments. We cannot study him. With our material intelligence, we cannot study him because his composition is different. He is not like any physical matter. He is total spiritual. He is beyond our intellectual conception because our intelligence is mostly of material. Mostly material, right? So, with this material intelligence, we cannot go beyond the matter. Even for that, whenever we have to study some object, we have to, of this world, of matter, we have to take the help of somebody who is doctorate. And then he can explain, okay, this is what the detail. If you have to study some instruments like a microphone or something, we have to, how does it work? How does it actually passes on the voice transmission happens? We have to understand through some expert, right? Then we can understand. It's naturally not available to us. So even the material, so many material around us, matter around us, we cannot understand with our material intelligence. So same way, what to talk about Lord Shri Krishna? We cannot comprehend him because he is infinite and his composition is totally spiritual, is beyond the matter. Right? So, bhaktyato ananya shakya. For understanding him, what we need is only bhakti and nothing else. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rasyam iti muttamam. The next verse, the last verse of the Virat universal form in the Bhagavad Gita is mat karma krit mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjita nirvairai sarva bhuteshu yah samamiti pandava. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says, this verse is considered as the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Essence of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who wants to get intimately connected to Krishna, into the spiritual world, into the Krishna loka, he should follow this formula. And Prabhupada used this word. This is the formula. What is the formula? Mat karma krit, mat parmo, mat bhakta. So, mat karma krit, that means, do my work. Lord Shri Krishna is advising, do my work. Carry out work for me. Not for me, actually. Do my work. So, there is a difference. Mat parmo, that means, make me the supreme goal of yours. Then, mat bhakta. Take up my bhakti. That's a devotional service. Sangha Varjita. Give up the bad association or give up the anarthas within Sangha. Sangha Varjita. Nirvaire Sarva Bhuteshu. To not be envious to any living beings. Here samam iti pandava, and then you can come to me. That's the way, that's the formula is being given. So after hearing the whole description about the Virat Rupa, what the Lord is describing is, do my devotional service. That's the formula. Do my bhakti. That's the formula. So Krishna is the eternal goal. Mat karmakrit mat parmo. Mat parmo. He is our eternal goal. We should not get deviated for so many other things. Prabhupada mentions, he gives a hint that we should not get deviated and divert our attention for the several branches of self-realization. Right? So, Krishna is our eternal goal. Krishna is not like a filler. When we are packing our luggage for some tour, what do? We kind of adjust so many things in our bag. Right? And when there is a space, then we add, okay, I can add up this. Okay, if there is some small space, okay, I can take up this also. Right? So Krishna is not like that filler. If I have some space, then I will add Krishna in my life. If I have some space in my daily routine, then I will add some Krishna in my life. Krishna is not that filler, but Krishna is the eternal goal. And Krishna is not like a sprinkling lemon, right? Sometimes when the sabji, to enhance the taste in the sabji veg, what do? Sprinkle the lemon. It enhances the taste. So that's what, somebody who has a tendency for material enjoyment, they may do the rituals of karmakanda or so on and so forth. They do the rituals so that they don't feel the guilt and they enjoy the material life fullest, without guilt free, right? And that's why they take upon some rituals. So they take some rituals of Krishna. It acts like a lemon to sprinkle on vegetable, right? To enhance the material enjoyment, the guilt-free material enjoyment. But Krishna is not like that lemon to be sprinkled on to enhance the taste. Krishna is our foremost priority, mat para. So that's he making it clear into the conclusion of this Virat Rupa. Okay. So here, in this shloka also, it is made very clear that this is the bhakti is the goal of Ashtanga Yoga and Virat Rupa. The culmination has to be in a bhakti. So here says, Swapna Jana, Swapna Jane Kshitei Kaha. Swapna Jana is a dreaming person. So let's say a person who is dreaming, he may have built a lot much of empire, but as soon as he wake up, all that is finished, right? It's gone, right? Let's say somebody who was preparing for an exam, his exam is just tomorrow, and he goes to bed in the night. In the night, he gets a dream, and he gets a dream that he has written the exam so well, and he got a good grades, he got the top grades, and he receives a certificate. So joyful he becomes. And as he wakes up, does he think, okay, I got the certificate, why do I have to study now? Does it make sense? Surely not, right? So the dream is dream, you know. So there is no permanent significance of the dream. So what is the substantial is this. Tam satyam ananda nidhim bhajet. So tam satyam, what is a satya? Satya is not a relative satya. Relative satya is changes over the time. Right? Satya, here it talks about the absolute, where it remains, it was, it is, and it will be the same. That's a satya. So all these worlds, you know, the matter and its interaction with the matter is actually doesn't remain permanent, and that's why it is asatya. So what we are looking at is a satya. Satya is actually relationship with the Krishna is satya. Anything relationship with the Krishna is a satya. This temporary phenomena of this world, asatya, is like, you know, a dream is like that asatya, illusory energy. That's how it works in this material world. And we get so much enamored by this illusory energy. Sometimes we look into the cloud in the sky. Sometimes this cloud's formation of that cloud after like an elephant, and we say, wow, it's an elephant. And the next moment the wind blows, and that cloud changes the form and shape and appears like a rabbit. And you get very pleased, right, to see that. So the emotions of this world in relationship with the matters also keeps on changing, right? Sometimes we are like awestruck with the seeing an elephant, and sometimes the next moment it becomes a rabbit and we feel, oh, so pleasing. So these emotions are also so much temporary. We should not go by this illusory energy of this world. And George Harrison, he mentions in his song, he says, all things must pass, none of life's things can last, so I must be on my way and face another day. Right? We continue our devotional service and don't get affected by any of the emotions. Ananda Nidhim Bhajet. So worship the Supreme Lord, who is a reservoir of pleasure. Lord doesn't enjoy himself, but he calls upon us to be the part. Actually, he's saying, come back. We were there, but because of something, we are being separated. By our own wish and will, we are being separated. But he's calling it back because he loves us so much. So, Lord, he comes to this world. He comes to this world with his crew, with his gadgets, with his studio. Right? He comes to this world with his crew, with his team. Right? When you go for a shoot, what do you do? There are a lot of crew members, a lot of team members. So Lord Krishna, when he comes from the spiritual world to this world, although he has no business here, he comes here with his team. What are his team members? All his gopas, all his wonderful associates. He comes with that team. He comes with his gadgets. Like if you have to go for a shoot, there are a lot many gadgets, camera and tripod and so on and so forth, right? So he comes with his gadget, is what? His wonderful peacock feather, his enchanting smile, his enchanting flute, right? He comes with his gadgets. He comes with his studio. His studio is green curtain. No. His studio is the greenery of Vrindavan, the Govardhan Hill, Yamuna flowing. He comes with that studio, right? And he shoots a trailer, a teaser. So when you see any teaser or trailer, what happens? It creates a lot of attraction what that actual movie is, right? So he comes here, shows us a teaser and trailer by performing his lila on this world to show us in the spiritual world there is a whole movie there. There's a wonderful pleasure. There is a Ananda Nidhim. There is an ocean of bliss there. And he comes here to show us that drop from that Ananda Nidhi. So Lord, although he doesn't have any business to come here, he comes here because he cares for us. He loves for us, right? That's why he comes to this world. But our conditioned attraction is for the material desires. Our attraction is for that Cupid, right? But Lord is Madana Mohan, right? He is even enchants the Madana. So nothing is more beautiful than the Supreme Lord, Madana Mohan. So he is all attractive. And there's a wonderful verse in the third canto. I'll read out the translation. He says, a yogi should meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Srihari. Like you see the wonderful smile of Gopinath. A smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by the intense grief. So our journey is, this material world is the ocean of intense grief to the Ananda Nidhi, to the ocean of pleasure. Right? So that is our journey. That's our bhakti. That's our sadhana bhakti. He should also meditate on his arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god Cupid for good of the sages. And Prabhupada writes in a purport, it is stated in this verse that the charming eyebrows of the Lord are so fascinating that they cause one to forget the charm of sense attraction. The conditioned soul are shackled to the material existence because they are captivated by the charms of sense gratification, especially sex life. The charming brows of personality of Godhead protect the sages and devotees from being charmed by the material phenomena, anarthas. So he is the only one, the verse says, na anyatra sajet, he is to be sajet, we should be attached to, we should be attracted to. He is a Madan Mohan to whom we should get attracted to. He is a eka, na anyatra sajet. It mentions eka, sa, he is a supreme personality, right? So we should get attracted and not divert our attention to the unnecessary phenomena of this world. So in a summary, what we have to say is this is the last verse, conclusion of this chapter. And we saw the Gita's conclusion, how the 6th chapter ends with the Shaddhavan Bhajate Yomam. 11th chapter also ends with the Mat Karma Krit Mat Paramo Mat Bhakta. It ends with the devotional service. So even though some yoga may have been talked about, but it ends with the, culminates in the Bhakti Yoga. So second chapter, first chapter also concludes in the Bhakti note, Ananda Nidim Bhajet. So I end here. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.